Brothers and sisters, what a blessing to worship on the seventh day Sabbath. And the Sabbath should be one of our most joyous experiences that can ever be. It's a time of release from the cares of everyday activity. The Scriptures, including the fourth commandment, explain this perspective. And it will be the distinguishing seal of God's people in the very end of time. The Sabbath is the one thing, and I want you to understand this, the Sabbath is the one thing that the devil works the hardest against, because it is the sign of God's creatorship. The Sabbath is so hated by him, the devil, that he does everything to obliterate its significance. The devil would like nothing better than to encourage believers to see that Sabbath keeping and the Sabbath blessing as some way of working our way to heaven, and better yet, transforming the Sabbath into some kind of heavy, restricting situation that our children learn to hate. The devil would like nothing better. But I want to tell you, the Sabbath is a delight. Every moment, not just the worship experience between 9:30 and 12:30, but the Sabbath from evening to evening, and its relevant blessing that comes with it is to be a sanctuary in time in which we are rejuvenated. And as we experience the joy of the Sabbath, we will hardly be able to wait for the best day of the week to arrive. Now, on Friday evening, we will be able to sense a difference and a blessing. This is the day that God sanctified. He blessed this day. He made something special of this peculiar day. Now, we must remember this and personally fight off the ever-present tendencies to allow other things, extraneous things, to try to take over the day, including all the business activities that we've had the previous week. In the past, it was easier to kind of keep out those intrusions on the Sabbath by simply turning off the television or the radio or leaving the newspaper aside. But I want to tell you, today we have the ever-present iPhones and everything else right at our fingertips, just waiting to connect with everything out there. More than ever, we individually need to take responsibility for not letting anything interfere with the delight and the blessing of the Sabbath. You see, we need to take time away from the busyness and enjoy the blessing. And as my dear wife, Nancy, Jim's sister, told me, you just need a rest from that. You see, it's a time to take a rest from the normal activities of the week. A time to worship with God and with others. It's a time to focus even more on the Word of God. It's a time to encourage those who are older, those who are sick, those who are in prison, those who are needy. It's a time to enjoy God's second book, nature. And those of you who live in this beautiful part of the country, you have plenty of opportunity to do that. It's time to appreciate God and His creation. Now, why do we have this special Sabbath blessing? Let's take an overview of what God has indicated regarding the blessings of the Sabbath. Now, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." In prophetic vision, John travels to the throne room of the universe. He sees there 24 elders dressed in white and heavenly beings who are praising and worshiping. And as he does this, he hears something. He listens to a song. Revelation 4, verse 8 explains that they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. You see, Revelation 4, verse 11 proclaims that you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. All of heaven sings because God is worthy to be worshipped, because He created all things and He blessed the Sabbath. We did not evolve from primates. We were created by a loving God. Before we existed, even in the womb of our mother — mothers are very special to us. I just lost my precious mother 2 months ago. But I want to tell you, because of the blood and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ and the promise of His soon coming, I will see her again. But even before I was formed in the womb of my mother, we existed in the mind of God. You see, He fashioned us and He shaped us. Now, the book of Revelation calls us back to worshiping the Creator and receiving the blessing. Revelation 7, verse 12 says, "Thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Revelation 10, verse 6 says, "Him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it." Now, Revelation chapter 10 tells about an angel who comes down from heaven. He puts one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, indicating a universal message for all humanity: worship the Creator. God is worthy of worship because He has created and has given us life. We give it back to Him through worship and praise and honor. And this is part of the Sabbath blessing. It's part of His end-time message for all people. Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." You see, in an age of confusion about our origins because of the false belief of evolution, God sends a message to the entire human race, calling us to worship the Creator. This is a message for all of us. It's not a message of one religious group or a denomination or a church. It is God's final message, a call to all of His people to worship the Creator, and He has blessed us because of it. Now, there's something to be said about a sabbatical, a rest from the things that we've been doing. I think all of us get caught up in the frenzy of the 21st century. We need to recognize that we can apply the wonderful principles of Scripture in a very literal way to our Sabbath observance and receive the blessings of the Sabbath. Now, having said all that, the Sabbath doesn't happen. The observance of the Sabbath doesn't come by just turning off the television or the computer and say, "Okay, now we're going to start the Sabbath." Sabbath is not just what we don't do. It is also all about what we do on the Sabbath. It is receiving the Sabbath blessing. It is about individually taking the time to foster our own walk with the Lord, keeping the Sabbath holy and finding it a delight. Is only possible through a vibrant, growing, living relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, this vibrant relationship with the Lord of the Sabbath and His blessing has its origins in Genesis. The theme of true worship and a relationship with the Lord, our Creator, is a common thread throughout Scripture. You see, correspondingly, the last book of the Bible, Revelation, shows the final crisis over true and false worship. Worshipping the Creator and enjoying the Sabbath as a blessing is at the center of all of it. Now let's look at the beginnings of the books, Genesis, so we can understand the book of endings, which is Revelation. The amazingly intricate world as we know it today was created in 6 literal days, as Dr. Hazel explained to us beautifully in the earlier presentation this morning. Starting with the dark, shapeless mass, God dazzled it with light and enveloped it with the atmosphere, brightened it with brooks and rivers and flowers and plants and an incredible variety of living things. And day by day, looking upon his handiwork, as the Bible says, he said, "It is good." And then came the crowning act of creation. Turning to the Father, the Creator said in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, "Let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." You see, the human race is God's masterpiece of creation, the object of his supreme love. This love was meant to be shared, for God said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." After the creation of Adam and Eve on the 6th day, the Bible then says in Genesis 2, verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished." Just 6 literal consecutive days of work, and creation was done, and done recently. Not millions or billions of years, but done recently, in a short period of time. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 33, verse 9, "For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." That's the power of God, and that is part of the Sabbath blessing. You see, Adam and Eve, on the end of that 6th day, must have gazed with incredible awe as they saw the blazing sun in all of its glory sinking in the western sky, ending the 6th day of creation. And then in verses 2 and 3 of Genesis 2, we're told that on the 7th day, God ended his work which he had done, and rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had done. Now, God didn't need to rest, as we were reminded this morning, because he never gets weary. Isaiah 40, verse 28 confirms that. But he took time to enjoy the magnificent creation that he had provided for all of us, and he was pleased with his accomplishments. Then God blessed the 7th day, and he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. You see, the 7th day Sabbath, given at creation, was to be God's perpetual reminder of our roots. The Bible says God blessed the 7th day. He made the 7th day an endless fountain of blessing, spiritual and otherwise, that would refresh his people for all time and eternity. He sanctified the 7th day. He set it apart as a holy day to continually remind us every 7 days of our roots, and to provide a constant reminder of the blessing of our relationship with him. Now, although this relationship with the Lord is a very personal one between you and your Lord, the implications of this relationship will be felt by everyone. The real principle of the Sabbath is reconnecting ourselves with the Creator. You see, rather than focusing on specific actions, we should look at the Sabbath as a time in which to reconnect to God, to nature, to our families, to our loved ones. When you do this, the Sabbath will take on a different significance because it will become a kind of a passage from one week to the next, which reminds you of where you come from, why you are here, and where you are going. What a blessing. You see, the Bible doesn't say that God blessed any other day except the seventh. And what God blesses, according to 1 Chronicles 17:27, He blesses forever. It is infused, the Sabbath, is infused with His very presence and made an eternal sign of His powerful creation and infinite love. What a blessing we receive on the Sabbath. God rested the seventh day, not because He was tired, but because He knew we would be tired. He sanctified it, set it apart for holy use, and made it a blessing for us. You see, the Sabbath was given to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of time on this earth. It was set aside at creation as an eternal symbol of God's creative power for His people in every age, and a day of rich spiritual blessing for all. Even when Adam and Eve had to leave the Garden of Eden, the Sabbath continued as a reminder of God's eternal love. Throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Sabbath is a sign between God and His people. Long before God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites on Mount Sinai, they were keeping the Sabbath of creation. Let's give a little example. Exodus 16, we read the remarkable story of the falling of manna, food from heaven. And manna actually means, what is it? The Lord said in Exodus 16:26, 6 days you shall gather it, that's the manna, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. God worked a miracle and a blessing for Israel by providing food and sustenance from heaven every day, except the Sabbath. If the Israelites gathered that food on the Sabbath, or more than they could eat, then the leftover portion spoiled each day. In addition, twice as much manna fell on Friday in order to carry them through on Sabbath, because God was miraculously preserving them and the Sabbath. This miracle kept the Israelites constantly aware of their Creator. When some Israelites went out to gather manna on the Sabbath, God said, Exodus 16:28, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? You see, on Mount Sinai, and I have to tell you, it was a great privilege for me as a 6-year-old boy to climb Mount Sinai and to look out from the top of what we think Mount Sinai is, where God gave that incredible gift of the Ten Commandments, to look out over that valley and to imagine in your own mind's eye the encampment of the Israelites waiting for the Word of God to come, and to realize that we today have that beautiful Ten Commandments with us eternally is a great and wonderful privilege for each of us. But as God wrote with His own finger on the tables of stone the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath commandment, we marvel at the perpetuity, the perpetual aspect of the Sabbath. He didn't write these commandments in the sand just to be washed away. He didn't write them on parchment so they would be burned. He wrote them on tables of stone to endure forever. If in the Bible there is only one set of laws written with God's own finger on tables of stone, then we can be sure that God's eternal law is extremely important, and that the Sabbath blessing is to be ours not only today, which is the Sabbath, but forever. You see, in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, we are told, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, we can keep something holy only if God has made it holy. Human beings can't make something holy, but God made the Sabbath holy and blessed it at creation. That's why we have the blessing of the Sabbath. That word, remember. Why did God say to remember? Well, because he knew we would forget. He knew that in an age of evolution, men and women would forget the beautiful Sabbath. So God calls us back to his eternal sign of creation and blessing by saying, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You see, this was not just for a particular people group. It wasn't just a council or a priest or a pastor who established the blessing of the Sabbath. It was God himself. He says, I will make this holy and sanctify it, because he is the God of the Sabbath. He is the one who is the one who created the Sabbath and is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, the origin of the Sabbath is the Creator himself. It is his sign, his memorial, his emblem, and his blessing. He made it to help us to acknowledge him as the creator of heaven and earth, and that every heartbeat and breath comes only from him. He doesn't say a Sabbath, a seventh day as the Sabbath. He says the seventh day is the Sabbath. Now, just as the day before your birthday or the day after your birthday is not the day to commemorate your birth, the first or the third day or the fourth day of the week do not commemorate the birth of the earth by the Creator God. Now, this birthday illustration is even more special to our family today, because today is not only the Sabbath, the birthday of the world, it is also the birthday of my wife, Nancy. It's a double blessing this Sabbath day. But back to the Sabbath. He blessed the seventh day. He rested on the seventh day. He sanctified the seventh day. He tells us why we are to worship on the seventh day. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them was, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The Ten Commandment law, quotes from Genesis and leads us back to where God created the earth. You see, the Sabbath was never an exclusively Jewish institution. It was given for all humanity. Just as the commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," or "Thou shalt not kill," is not only for Jewish people, so the Sabbath is not exclusively a Jewish Sabbath. It was given to our first parents for everyone. It is for all believers. The Bible says the Sabbath was made for man, all humanity, everywhere. What a Sabbath blessing. Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7 tell us, "Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, I will bring to my holy mountain." God's mountain is the New Jerusalem. "And make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." You see, in essence, he was saying, and I'm paraphrasing now, all nations will one day worship around my throne, God's throne, in the New Jerusalem each Sabbath. That's the vision of God's house of prayer in the book of Revelation. It's the New Jerusalem. It's there at God's throne where all of God's people are singing praise to the Creator. The seventh day Sabbath, the day God rested upon, the day God sanctified and blessed, is the golden link that links the creation of Genesis with the new creation in the book of Revelation. Can you see how beautifully God interrelates His truth from Genesis to Revelation? The eternal principles of God's law are universal, and so is the Sabbath. It was never done away with or changed. It is God's special sign until the end of time and beyond, eternally. It was written on tables of stone with God's own finger. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Sabbath was God's everlasting sign for all of His people. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12 indicates, "Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." You see, the Sabbath is not only a sign that God created us, it is a sign that He can recreate in our hearts a new person. When I come to worship Him on Sabbath, I can say, "God, You are the all-powerful Creator, and You can recreate in my own heart a love for You. Because of You, I can receive the Sabbath blessing." Now, it would be wonderful, I think, if local churches like the Andrews Seventh-day Adventist Church would somehow focus on beautiful seminars like this in many different places to help people to understand the practical aspects and the blessings of the Sabbath, to understand that the Sabbath is a joy and that it can involve families and promote spiritual personal growth with Jesus. That's why the local church plays such a pivotal role in whether members will think that the Sabbath is some kind of legalistic approach to worshiping God, or whether the Sabbath is viewed as a beautiful sanctuary of time. This is why even the edges of the Sabbath, from sundown Friday evening until sundown Sabbath evening or Saturday evening, are so important. God made us, and He provides us with the opportunity to rejuvenate our lives spiritually and physically once a week as we turn to the One who knows so much about us, our Creator and our Redeemer. Nothing can replace belonging to and attending a local congregation on Sabbath. You need to be physically present in a central place where you actually belong. Everyone ought to belong somewhere. The Bible in Hebrews 10, verse 25, tells us that we need to gather together on the Sabbath. And you don't want to miss the fellowship of the believers, because it is here, amongst those who believe in a like-minded way, we find our strength, we find encouragement, and a blessing. People who just kind of go from church to church, where the best speaker is, or where the best food is, or whatever, don't get the full Sabbath blessing. There's something about the fellowship of believers that you will never get anywhere else except in your local church on Sabbath. Remember what Mark chapter 2, verse 27 says. "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. It was for all humanity, a sign of God's creation and a blessing to all." It's a sign that we worship Him exclusively and that we love Him supremely. We were not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made as God's special gift to us, as a special blessing. Every Sabbath, we flee from the stresses of life to God's palace in time. The tensions of life evaporate in His presence, and the blessing of the Sabbath is ours. Although Sabbath is about rest, it's also about involvement, especially in the worship experience, where as many people as possible should be actively participating. Church should be a dynamic, busy place with lots of hands, lots of people who are willing to help. Everyone should find their niche, whether it is in the worship service or even in the fellowship dinner. Young people should be encouraged to be involved. Uplifting music is an important part of the Sabbath worship experience. Music that certainly fits with the culture of where you are, but not music that focuses on the performer, but rather on giving God the glory. We must never forget, as we meet on the Sabbath, that we are in the house of God. Even if it's only in a rented hall, if it just becomes another auditorium, then it loses its significance and the blessing. We need to sense a respect within the church service. You know, it's seen throughout the world, regardless of whether people are meeting in a simple mud structure or a one-day church or the Bear Ridge Mall or a beautiful stone edifice, there's a certain respect that we see on the Sabbath. And that tells us that people's hearts are in tune with the one to whom we came to worship, the one who gave us the day of delight and blessing. We rest in a completed creation and in a completed redemption. In life and in death, Jesus rested on the Bible Sabbath. It's a day on which to do good for others. Matthew 12, verse 12 says, "It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." For Christ, the Sabbath was a day of works of mercy, a wonderful day of worship, praise, fellowship, ministry to others, enjoyment of nature, and a real blessing. You see, the Sabbath was not some legalistic, narrow-minded requirement. Jesus says to us today in John 15 or 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Love leads us to obedience and to keeping His commandments and receiving the blessing of the Sabbath. When we kneel at the foot of the cross and see those nails driven through His hands and His feet, we long to obey Him, our Lord and Savior. Love prompts us to worship Him every Sabbath. You see, we give back our life to the one who gave His life for us. And we receive the blessing as we worship on the Lord's Day. John tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." Jesus defines His day of blessing by telling us which day it is. Matthew 12, 8, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Mark chapter 2, 28, "Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Luke 6, verse 5, "The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Now the Bible includes the same thing three times because it is important. And if the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, then the Sabbath must be the Lord's day, the day of God's great blessing. The Sabbath of the Creator God in Genesis is the Lord's day of revelation. He's the same Creator in Revelation as He was in Genesis. He blessed and sanctified the Sabbath at creation, and He calls all humanity to worship Him at the end of time as well on the Sabbath. He doesn't change. He explains who God's people are at the end of time. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God." You see, the Lord Himself has provided to us a clear understanding. The Sabbath, given at creation, given at Sinai, kept by His people, kept by Jesus, honored by the disciples, a sign of God's power, kept on the new earth. You see, Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23 tell us, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship me, says the Lord." The blessing of the Sabbath will be ours forever. The precious hours of sacred worship and rest will be even more meaningful to us as we worship our Lord in His presence. I'm looking forward to that day. The Sabbath is a wonderful blessing and a gift that our Creator gives to you and to me. Every seventh day, He says, slow down. Slow down for 24 hours. Slow down. 24 hours of uninterrupted, unhurried time with Him. Time together with Him and the entire human race. Which is why the Creator, who was incarnate in the flesh, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, spoke these words in Mark chapter 2, 27. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, what a blessing from God. From the very beginning of time, the seventh day has been a gift from God to the human race. He could have said, well, maybe once a year we'll get together, or maybe once a month. But no, He says, once every week, I want to give you this blessing. I want to tell you today that you owe it to yourself to experience and receive the gift and the blessing of the seventh day. If for some reason you're a little bit hesitant, I would urge you to ask God through personal prayer, Lord, if You really are our Creator, and the Sabbath is really Your day of blessing, then reveal Yourself to me and reveal the truth of Your Sabbath to me, personally. Lord, please make Your face known to me. I want to see clearly that the Sabbath is Your gift of friendship and blessing. You see, my friends here today in the Bear Ridge Mall, God will impress you with His truth. I believe it with all my heart. He wants your friendship that much. He wants you to experience the blessing of His precious day, the Sabbath. Yes, the Sabbath is a sign of God's creation and His precious redemption. However, the greatest gift and blessing of the Sabbath is the friendship of God. A friendship that will last throughout eternity. My dear friends, each of us should praise God each week for the blessing of the Sabbath. And as we close this particular section of our presentations, and as we sing a beautiful hymn, O Day of Rest and Gladness, I'm wondering if I could invite you at this moment to ask the Lord to fill your heart in such a powerful way that you truly will know what is truth, and that by God's grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will stand firm for truth, whatever may come. For you see, the Sabbath will be a perpetual and long-lasting sign as we go into the near and deep future as to His relationship with us. And God will ask us to stand for Him, just as Dr. Hazel explained about his father and how he stood for truth during very difficult times. God will ask us to stand for Him. And in the attitude of prayer, I want to ask each of you, are you willing to make that commitment to ask the Lord to truly help you to fully understand what it means to worship Him in this sanctuary of time? And if there are those who, for some reason, this is a very new concept, and you want to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to further understand in a more intimate way what this really means and the implications for my own personal life, Lord, help me to understand. If you'd like to stand for God's truth, or you'd like to ask the Lord, help me to understand further truth, would you just stand to your feet right now? Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.